listeners, if you were listening to Leah's podcast episode last time, you'll know that we left off with our hero dangling off a cliff, asking himself, should I build a personal brand under our corporate brand? Will that be allowed by the corporate brand? How does that work? Well, maybe it wasn't a cliffhanger so much as we're going to be talking about personal branding and corporate branding and how they can work together. But I want to first introduce our guest today, and that is the lovely and talented Leah Rowe.
Hello, everyone.
Leah Rowe, I think everybody knows, is the Vice President of People Operations at Health Finch, a local startup here in Madison, Wisconsin. And she's also my big friend who turned me on to the idea that culture is worth talking about.
Yes.
So that people understand what it is and what it isn't.
Totally. And I do want to say it's worth talking about, but talking about it only goes so far. So you also have to take action and build your culture. So hopefully they can take some things that they learn from here and go out in the world and build it.
Well, that's certainly the goal. And as everybody knows, I like to say that brand and culture are two sides of the same coin. And I'll also say that brands say, cultures do.
It's my favorite coin, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to have a coin. That's well, really cool.
You know, that's going to be a product. There's going to be a nonfiction Brandversity coin that
says... Last time it was whiskey, too. I think we had a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was... No, it was culture brandy.
Culture brandy.
Believe me, we're going to come out with culture brandy very, very soon.
And our brand and culture coin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to have a whole line of products
related to
this.
Sounds like we need a drinking game if we're going to have coins and brandy.
Oh, I think the drinking game should be something like every time DP says except DP edits out the so you aren't going to get much drinking there. Every time I say, know who you are so you can be it.
Or every time you say something that's been trademarked by you so everyone will get wasted.
TM. Every time I say TM, start drinking. All right. Well, we're not here to make everybody alcoholics. We are here to talk about the intersection between culture and brand. And as I kind of hinted at, the last time we spoke, we were talking about, or you raised the subject of personal branding inside a corporate structure.
Yeah.
So tell me what you're thinking about when it comes to that stuff.
So I am a big believer in personal branding. I've seen firsthand what it can do for me in my life. But then also, I am the VP of People Ops at Health Finch. So I'm looking at it from an employer perspective too, of recruitment super important at our company and in my role. So how do we bring the best people to us? How do we attract people to us? And honestly, I'm a big believer that people are attracted to a company for the mission and all of that. But I'm believing more and more that people are more attracted to the people they will be working with at a company, maybe even more so than the mission of the company. And so what can you do to attract those people? So knowing that, I have been thinking how fantastic it is for employees at a company to work on their personal brand, to attract other people to want to work with them, which will ultimately bring people who want to work at the company.
Can you give a quick definition of your personal definition on what personal branding is?
DP, you're the expert. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but then I'd have to put a TM on it. Drink.
That's true. Let me see if I can be succinct. Personal branding for me is going out into the world and being who you are. It's being authentic. It's knowing who you are so you can be it, but it's showing up in the world as the person that you truly are. And it's attracting people and things and opportunities to you by you just being your authentic self.
When it comes to personal branding inside a corporate structure, what are you talking about?
When it comes to personal branding inside a corporate structure, I'm really talking about the same sort of thing of me, an example, me going out into the world and being myself. One of the things that I did out in the world is I created culture community. I wanted to learn more about company culture. I wanted to bring people together to have conversations. So I did that. I created that. And then, so through that being a part of my personal brand, being a part of culture community, I'm networking with all of these people. They learn that I work at Health Finch. They learn about the company and then they want to come work at the company. I've actually hired 3 people that I met at culture community. So it was just me going out into the world, having the support of the company to do these things and then being myself and attracting new employees to the company through just being my authentic self by living my personal brand.
Well, knowing you, I can say that your authentic self is I want to help people.
Totally.
I want to build cultures that support them, that enabled them to be the best person they can be. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, if we happen to make a profit selling the things we create, that's even better.
Right.
But the fact is, the cultures you want to create are people-oriented cultures.
People-first cultures.
Not corporate entities.
Right.
In spite of the fact of certain legislation that's been out there that says that corporations are people, I believe that corporations are made up of people, mm-hmm. and there's a big difference.
Yeah.
So when you started Culture Community,
yep.
what I'm hearing you say is, okay, my day job is VP of People Operations. By starting this networking presentation venue called Culture Community, which meets the second Thursday of the month here in Madison, Wisconsin,
yep.
you're burnishing your personal brand. You're getting your personal name out in the, you know, in the community, but you're also then able to take that personal brand magnet that you've created that's attracting people to you and being able to convert people into associates with HealthFinch.
Right. And so I didn't go out into the world trying to do that. I didn't create Culture Community to bring people to HealthFinch or to leverage HealthFinch's brand, but it happened. And so now seeing that that happened, having that experience, I'm thinking, how can we as a company and how can other companies do this with many of their employees?
Okay, let me just break it down for the listeners because this gets kind of gooey and amorphous. This is how it works. I witnessed this in action myself from a bit of a remove because mm-hmm. I wasn't a player in the game. I got to watch it happen. There's another group in town that we like to go to called 1 Million Cups. And that's
love 1 Million Cups.
That's a, yeah, it's a global. Is it national? It's certainly national in the U.S.
Certainly national. I think it's just national.
All right. 1 Million Cups gets together typically once a week. There's a presentation, a lot of networking, getting to know people, stuff like that. I start going to it and there's this woman at the front of the room named Leah Rowe, who I don't know. And she's talking about HealthFinch, HealthFinch every week for weeks, HealthFinch, HealthFinch. And I'm like, what the heck is a HealthFinch? But, you know,
it's a healthy bird.
Yeah. Over time, I get to know Leah and I get to know a little bit about HealthFinch, but I also get to know the other people at 1 Million Cups. And I'm not going to mention his name, but there was a guy there who I saw week one as I'm looking for a job. Week two, I'm looking for a job. Week three, I'm looking for a job. Week four, I've just joined HealthFinch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because that person, whether he knew it or not, was building his personal brand by getting out there in the community, letting people know what he was doing, asking questions. Oh, and by the way, this is my favorite ninja pro tip. If you go to 1 Million Cups, ask smart questions.
Yes.
Because that gets the attention of everybody around you. So that guy who was looking for a job could have sat there on his hands, not said anything. Instead, he would ask a smart question.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't take up too much air in the room, but the next week he'd ask another smart question and maybe have a back and forth on the answer. Then he'd ask another smart question. The takeaway after 3 weeks is, that's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to put myself in your shoes and you say, hey, we have an opening for smart people. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should talk to this guy.
And I feel like at that point too, we're qualified leads for each other. He's heard about HealthFinch. He knows he's aligned with our culture. I know him. I know that he would fit really well into our culture because he's intuitive and he asks really smart questions. And so it's this beautiful thing that came together. And you think about how long it takes to recruit really great people to your company. That didn't take long at all.
Well, and the other thing was he was smart enough to go, well, I met this person through this organization. She has Culture Community. I think I'll start showing up there and yep. asking smart questions too.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I even know this guy? Because I go to both organizations on a regular basis. I see him all the time. I know this story because I watched it happen. It's like watching two people fall in love. You see it happening over time. They don't even know it. And all of a sudden you're at the wedding.
Yeah. And again, I just think that that is so powerful. I've seen firsthand how powerful it's been for me, for my personal brand, and having the company support me and all the endeavors that I want to do in the community. And then the company reaps the benefit. Think if we could do this with all of our employees, with all the different things that they do, attract such diversity of thought and background. It's just amazing.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search NonfictionBrandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. Well, I do a presentation on personal branding that hits this right on the head, looking back at an old metaphor that's been used in advertising and marketing forever. And it's a simple question: are you a house of brands or a branded house? An example of a branded house would be Ford Motor Company. You've got the Ford F-150 truck, you got the Ford Probe, you've got the Ford fill in the blank. It's always Ford, Ford, Ford. That's their label for every vehicle that they have. Pick another company that is a house of brands and look at any of the cereal manufacturers, where it's at Kellogg's. You know, they may have Kellogg's over the name of it, but if you're getting Fruit Loops, it's Fruit Loops. If it's Lucky Charms, it's Lucky Charms.
Totally.
And I may be mixing Post cereals in there as well. But my point is, the organization of packaged goods companies are typically a house of brands, meaning that P&G, Procter & Gamble, may make this product, this product, this product, and this product, but you only see Procter & Gamble on the back of the bottle down at the lower right corner where they have to identify themselves. Otherwise, it's the brand itself. Meanwhile, going back to the Ford Motor Company example, it would be that it's always Ford F-150, Ford Probe, Ford Taurus, whatever. If you are a company and you don't have employees that are actively personal branding themselves, you only have a company brand. And by the way, companies love that and have loved it forever. Why? Because they want to hide and hoard their employees. If I have really good people, the last thing I want my competitor to know is this person is really good at this, because they'll poach them. That worked for a long time. Hide your best employees. Why? Because you're going to keep them for a lifetime.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work anymore at all. But employees have not kept up to speed with the idea of creating a personal brand. If you are a personal brand like Leah Rowe, you are vice president of people operations, meaning you're in the HR space.
Right.
If you build your brand as an expert, thought leader, go-to resource for human resources information, you have now boosted yourself up from being a commodity HR person to being a brand HR person that is more valuable for your company.
Totally. And when I look at, again, I didn't create culture community to have this effect, but I see that I am out there in the community and in the culture and HR realm promoting really fantastic culture, intentionally building people first culture, taking care of people. That's my brand. That's what I promote. That's what I believe in. And I happen to work at HealthBench. So people know that HealthBench has to be one of those companies that builds really great intentional culture, that cares about their people, because I'm out there and that's my brand. Why would I associate with anything that wasn't on brand for me?
Well, an example, let's go deeper into your company. You've got people who are software engineers, and they're working with a specific software stack.
Yeah.
If they are now renowned experts in that software stack, if people are looking for a solution in your space that is based on that stack, and they know that that expert works for you as a company, you have a leg up on getting that sale, because they go, oh, they have Jerry. Jerry's an expert at that stuff. He's teaching all over the place. He's speaking on it. He's renowned via social media for doing it. Jerry's got to make HealthFinch better.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so in those two examples with me and with Jerry, I really like Jerry, by the way. Those are content experts in the work that we're doing. Let me give you another example of my coworker, Jordan. So she works with me on People Ops, but she's also a really, really popular, famous, I don't know the word, food blogger on Instagram. So she has tons and tons of followers, and she had people asking her, what job do you have that you're able to go out to eat so much, that you're able to work from all these coffee shops? Like, where do you work? And so she put up there where she works, and we were flooded with people who wanted to interview, people who wanted to apply for jobs. So it has nothing to do with her day-to-day job. It's something that's totally her personal passion, but HealthFinch is able to reap benefits from her out in the world, being herself, working on her own personal brand. And I think that's really cool. And we didn't ask her to do that. She loves the company because we've lived out this culture that we've built, that she is happy to tell her followers where she works to help them if they want to work at the company.
Well, that's really funny, because
I see you've just pulled out Rotoma.
Yeah. Well, I only have to pull it out because it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. If you hadn't heard by now, I co-wrote a book with Spencer X. Smith called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind, available now on Amazon. If you have the book, turn to page 151.
Ooh,
because
it's a read-along.
Well, it is, because well, it's a see and say, because it is exactly what you just talked about in action here. Long story short, I'm working on the book, trying to come up with some final examples to really take it across the finish line. And I thought, I'm just going to look up hashtag new job on Instagram to see what comes up. So I'm looking at it, and believe me, it's a not infrequent hashtag, because people get a new job, they post about it, they're happy, excited, all that stuff. I happen to see one by a woman who goes by Katie Cosplays on Instagram. Well, it ends up that Katie is more or less a world-class cosplayer. Now, do you know what cosplaying is?
I have no idea what cosplaying is.
If you're like me and you've been to Wizard Con or Comic Con or whatever, you see these people who dress up as their favorite superheroes.
Dude, I'm learning so every time we meet, I learn so much about you. This is fascinating.
Let's just not ask me about the time I went as Poison Ivy to Comic-Con. I'm kidding. Never did Poison Ivy. And frankly, never dressed up at all. But anyway, cosplayers go to Comic-Con or Wizard Con dressed as their favorite anime characters, comic book superheroes, whatever. So if you turn to page 151 of the book, you're going to look down at the bottom of the page and see a picture of Katie George. And she's standing outside her brand new job at a place called Workfront.
Let me see. Okay.
Okay. So Workfront, some of you may be familiar with, is a application that people use in businesses to do whatever they do. I don't know. I don't know enough about Workfront. Sorry. Hashtag Workfront. But I will say this. It's a picture of Katie and she's outside their building. And get this. I break down the photo this way by saying, Katie is already proving her value to her brand new employer in a single photo. Count the number of references, direct and indirect, to Workfront. One, Workfront logo on the building. Wow, they're established enough to own a building. Two, Workfront logo on lanyard. That's the company casually embracing their newest employee.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Katie tags at Workfront in her post, closely associated with an assortment of love-oriented emoji. Four, Katie raves about her excitement for Workfront. And then five, if you look in the comments of that post, you'll see that a follower that goes by the name Iraru, I think that's how you pronounce it. He quietly endorses not only Katie's employment decision, but Workfront's service platform. He literally says, Iraru says, congratulations on the new gig. I'm a fan of the services platform they've developed. So now I'll think of you each time. Ha ha.
That's huge.
That's huge. And guess what? I haven't looked it up lately, but last time I did, guess what Katie George's follower count is on Instagram?
How much?
A couple of months ago, 40,000.
Wow.
So here you've got.
It's amazing.
Cool cosplayers that, you know, it's the global culture's
Wait,
not
what's
gonna,
a cosplayer?
A cosplayer is a person who puts on the costume of their favorite thing. And she does. Okay, go look at her feed and you'll see.
I will.
It's incredible stuff. She designs and she, you know, and she enters costume contests and wins.
Yeah.
She's ultimate cool. And guess what? She's ultimate cool in this very small subculture.
Yeah.
But she's already elevating the brand that is Workfront.
Which I think is really interesting when you think about it then from an employee perspective. If you're working on your personal brand and you're doing things like that, getting 40,000 followers, do you think there is a time and a place for an employee to leverage that to their employer to say, hey, I have this following from this niche or what have you. Do you think it's appropriate for them to ask for more money or something like that? To be like, I will put out posts and we can see if we get new applicants in or something like that.
That gets a little sticky and that gets into the whole marketing mix. And I don't want to go too deep in that because that's a wormhole. I will say this, from an employer's point of view, should you be looking at the follower counts of potential new employees to see if they're valuable? I know you're already looking at their feeds to see if there's any disqualifying stuff. Like if you see them with a drink in their hand in every single photo, it's like, well, maybe they're too much of a partier. But if you had two potential employees, two resumes on your desk, and this is a thought experiment I like to take people through. One of them has zero social media presence. The other has significant social media presence in a positive way, like your food blogger example or Katie George's cosplayer example.
Yeah.
If they are both exactly equal, should that social media experience and expertise tip the scales in that person's favor? I'm going to say yes all day long because that person is currently personally branding themselves in a way that could easily be personally branding themselves as a happy associate of fill in the blank company.
That's really interesting. I would say also from a culture perspective, something that I would be really interested in as an employer, and I think other employers would be interested in it as well, is how can we help our current employees to build their personal brands, to do it in a way that, you know, they're excited about. They're excited to go out into these different areas of their own world and build their personal brand, and also in a way that will help the company. I feel like it's so easy to say, this is what we want to do, but how do you do it? So I think that would be really helpful for employers. DP, maybe you should put a course together or something for us employers of how we can, you know, top five steps to help our employees with their personal brand or something.
Well, that's funny because we're going to be talking about exactly such things at Nonfiction Brandversity, which you've probably already heard the promo during this episode.
It's literally the greatest thing ever.
Well, you think so?
I've gotten so much value out of it.
Good.
And it's been only a few weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, we opened it maybe 3 weeks ago.
And the Facebook Live events are incredible. Betty Pearl loves them.
Oh, yeah. Well, what Leah's talking about is that Chantel Sumas and myself will do typically on Thursdays when there's not a culture community in the morning.
Correct.
We'll do a weekly Facebook Live event where we bring the community together. We get everybody on campus, not on camera, but certainly the comments of anybody who's watching. They can ask questions. They can throw in ideas. We can share whatever is on your radar. So the Thursday Facebook Lives with Chantel and myself are typically at 8 a.m. Central Time, except for the second Thursday of every month, when it's culture community. Now, I've asked Leah, and she's given me the blessing to make this a de facto face-to-face meetup for any Nonfiction Brandversity students who are interested in showing up.
Totally.
So tell them from your mouth that I'm not taking over the thing.
No, DP is not taking over, but I feel like the people who are into the Nonfiction Brandversity and Nonfiction Branding, those are the people that show up at culture community too. We're all about knowing who you are so you can be it, whether it's in your own personal brand or if it's in your company culture. That's what we all believe.
Well, and that's what this podcast is about. So please stay tuned. And if you like it, please subscribe, please refer, please review, because those are the ways that we get more people to know about this and we invite even more people to Nonfiction Brandversity. I'm DP Knutin, and she is
Leah Rowe.
And we'll be talking to you again really soon. Bye-bye.